We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and the subject that we're discussing is the topic of sex, and particularly the subject of sex in marriage. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about sexual immorality, and then he talks about sexual morality in marriage. And what we want to do to begin with is to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, and I want to read down through verse 9. We covered in the previous lesson verses 1 through 5, but I do have some comments to make about those verses. I do have some observations to offer. And then we want to connect verses 1 through 5 with what he says in verses 6 through 9. So let's begin reading in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. The facts about marriage and the facts about males and females are clear from the Bible. The Bible says that God created male and female. We have the sexes, male and female, because God created us this way. Genesis 1, verse 27. So the sexes are the creation of God. We've also noticed that sex itself is the creation. It is the design of God himself. God is the one who authored and invented the very concept of sex. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talks about how some abuse the concept of sex. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he talks about the rightful place and the only rightful and legitimate place for sex, and that is marriage. Paul said that one of the reasons God gave marriage is to prevent fornication. And so he tells husbands and wives to fulfill the needs and the desires of each other in this intimate relationship. Now, what I'd like to do is to offer some observations and some general comments about these verses before we get into verses 6 through 9. First of all, some religious groups impose celibacy, that is, the single or unmarried state, upon some of their members. Some religious groups demand that their priests or their bishops not marry. They forbid them not to enter the married state, which is a very strange thing because it contradicts the Bible. Paul said that a bishop must be the husband of one wife. So it's rather odd that there are religious groups that forbid some of their church officers to marry, when the Bible, in talking about the true officials of the church, says that a bishop must be the husband of one wife. But furthermore, the Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 7, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So it is wrong to impose celibacy on people as a law. In the second place, Paul shows that the sexual relationship in marriage is not just for having children. This means that contraception or some form of birth control is scriptural, because the sex act in marriage is not just to bring children into the world. The Bible shows that there is a spiritual function or a spiritual dimension to the sexual relationship in marriage. Paul says that husbands and wives are to meet each other's needs in this area so that Satan does not tempt you for your lack of self-control. So there is a bigger purpose here than just the consideration of bringing children into the world. Number 3, Paul elevates the position of women in this chapter. There are some who say that Paul was against women. Some would even say that Paul didn't like women. Some would even venture to say that Paul hated women, and he shows this in this chapter. This is not true at all. Paul elevates the position of women, and he shows that women have an equal right in this relationship with men. So the intimate relationship in marriage is not just for the man's satisfaction or pleasure. It is for the pleasure and satisfaction of the wife. And we see that very clearly in verses 3 and 4, because Paul says that the husband is to render to the wife and that the wife is to render to the husband as well. This also shows that it is sinful to withhold oneself intentionally from one's mate, and might I add that it is especially wicked for a husband or a wife to use sex to manipulate, to punish or reward a spouse in a relationship. So looking at this passage from an overall standpoint, what Paul is doing is, in chapter 6, he's telling these Corinthians that sex outside of marriage is wrong. In chapter 7, they had written to him questions, and one of the questions evidently was, well, what about marriage itself, and what about sex in marriage? And Paul teaches them in verses 1 through 5. Now, in verses 6 through 9, he has some further things to say about this subject. In verse 6, he said, "But I speak this by permission and not of commandment." The word "this" does not refer to what he just talked about in verses 1 through 5, because he says, "I'm saying this by permission. God is allowing me to say this." It's not a commandment. It's not something that you have to do, because in verses 1 through 5, when he tells the husbands and the wives to treat each other right in this relationship, in the sexual relationship, that's not an option. It's not something that Paul is offering as an opinion. That is the law of God for marriage. So the word "this" in verse 6 does not refer to what he says in verses 3 through 5. It refers to what he is about to say in verses 7 and 8. He said, "I speak this," what I'm about to tell you, that is, "by permission and not of commandment." In other words, this is not a law that everybody has to follow. This is my advice. This is my judgment. This is some counsel that I'm giving you. And Paul's going to go into that further in this chapter. He's going to explain why he's saying what he does say in verses 7 and 8. He's giving these people the advice that, in his opinion, it would be better for them, if they're not married, to stay unmarried and not get married at that time. Why? Well, he's going to tell us later in this chapter that it was because of some kind of distress in that society. He doesn't specify what it was, whether it was persecution, whether it was war, whether it was some kind of calamity that was impending, but Paul said it would be better for you not to marry right now. It would be better for you to remain in the unmarried state that you're in. And we'll talk more about that as we get down to those verses where he says that. But this is not a law for everybody that he's giving here, and he tells us that in verse 6. Something else that you need to remember about this is that here in verse 7, Paul said, "I would," that is, "I wish, that all men were even as I myself." In a way, Paul said, it would be an advantage to people if they were single like me. Paul is saying here that he was unmarried. But throughout this chapter, he shows that he's not saying it's a sin. If you get married, you have that right. And in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 14, Paul said, "I will," that is, "I wish, therefore, that the younger women marry." So here in 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, he says, "I wish that everybody was like me," that is, single. But in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, he says, "I wish that these younger women would get married." What's the difference? Is he contradicting himself? No, he's not contradicting himself. The difference is a difference in the situation. The situation in 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, is different than the circumstances in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14. There's something that was happening, or there's something that was about to happen, that leads Paul to say what he does here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But let's look at these words in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7, where he says, I would that all men, I wish that all men were even as I myself, that is single. But, he said, every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Now, Paul plainly shows here that there are differences in people. There are some people that are better suited for a single life than others. There are some people that have different needs, that have different personalities, different backgrounds, different circumstances, and the Bible says that there are people who have a certain gift of God. They have the self-control to live a single lifestyle. Now, this doesn't mean that a person is excused for sinning, ever. But it does mean that there are different levels, there are different degrees of strength and weakness when it comes to this area. And so Paul says in verse 8, I say therefore to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Paul says it is good if you're unmarried or if you have lost your husband or if a husband has lost his wife. It is good, especially at this time, if you stay like I am, if you remain unmarried. And what he'll show in this chapter is that it's good for several different reasons. It's good especially because of the present distress that he's going to talk about, this calamity or the circumstances that were going to make it especially hard on married couples. But it's also good in other ways because a person like Paul, who was single, would be able to fully devote himself or herself to the service of the Lord. But that's a matter of judgment. That's a matter of opinion. That's why Paul prefaced his remarks in verse 6 by saying, I'm speaking this. I'm telling you something here by permission and not of commandment. This is not a law for everybody, and if a person says, I would rather get married, then he's certainly free to do that. He has every right in the world to get married. That's why he started off in this chapter saying, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. But he makes this even clearer in verse 9. Because after he said in verse 7, I wish that everybody were like me that is unmarried, and after he said in verse 8, I say to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide or continue or remain even as I, he immediately follows in verse 9 and says, but if they cannot contain, the word contain means to exercise self-control, if they cannot control their desires and their passions, what does Paul say? He said, let them marry. So it was scriptural. It is not a sin to marry, Paul says. Let them marry, because he adds in verse 9, for it is better to marry than to burn. The word burn here does not refer to burning in hell. The word burn means to burn with passion. It means to burn with desire. And so that again brings us back to verse 2. And that is the very reason why God gave marriage in this chapter is to channel those desires and to fulfill those desires in marriage. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 9, Paul answers their question or their questions about sex and marriage. In the next few verses that we're going to look at, we're going to see Paul answering another set of questions about a topic that is just as controversial and that is just as common today as it was when Paul wrote these words, and that is the subject of divorce.